And he shows me this picture. You have to look at her face. I will leave it up here on the altar. Painting is called The First Day in Heaven. I don't happen to know if it was first or the song came first or what the sequence was. It really doesn't matter. First Day in Heaven. And I thought, fascinating. We used it for the funeral. Looks like that's going to stay. That'll be good. People are not going to see that picture in their life or feel it in their life because some of them are going to hell. We have a mission theme, an outreach theme today for in our music and the children's sermon and other things like that. And I just thought, oh Lord, how hard it is sometimes to really understand. Do you understand the power of the gospel I've shared with you before? I go, Jesus Christ goes to the cross and he dies for people that have never yet been born, who by their nature are enemies of God, and still he died for them. That's you, that's me. And we sometimes think that God is inviting us to make some judgment call on some group of people because somehow their sin is a little dirtier than ours. You know, that sin is, that's the one we don't talk about. And we get caught in this kind of mindset that it's so easy to do. And we think that part of barking from last week's sermon, part of pointing stuff out is to start shouting them down to somehow identify God could not possibly be committed to somebody like that. And then God wants you, I slow down and I go, do you remember if you so much as hate someone in your heart, you've murdered them? You so much as think a lustful thought after a man or a woman, you've committed adultery. What big sin you want to come up with that you don't think the grace of God is needed in your life? Because if you miss this, you get caught in all the wrong things. And so as I looked at that picture, and he happened to just get it. He had ordered it. He handed it to me on Thursday night after we were finished eating and talking. And he gave it to me. I'm going to twist a little bit more. Maybe more of you can see it that way. He gave it to me, and it was still in the wrapper. It had just gotten there. He said, you can take the wrapper off. I said, no, it's got all the corner covers and all the things they come with. And then I said, no, I'm going to do that. And I thought, when I looked at that girl's face, I go, what's the song I can only imagine trying to capture? You and I can't begin to comprehend the glories of heaven, the beauty of being able to reach into the arms of Christ and hold him and hang on to him like that with all the joy that that woman's face shows. And I go, God doesn't want that just for us. He wants that for all people. And we have to understand, we have been given a ministry in the gospel called the ministry of reconciliation. And ministry of reconciliation means God is no longer angry with you. Reconciliation means God is not your enemy. But I do this sin. But I behave in that way. I lie, I cheat, I steal, I'm sexually immoral, I drink, I smoke, I use drugs. I have been left my family, I've been divorced 6 times. You fill them in. And here's the message of the gospel, the message from the cross, the message that you and I can get messed up if somehow we go, oh God, you're so lucky to have me. I sing so loud on Sunday. Or I'm working in the ministry. Or I come from a Christian family. God says, don't do that. You steal the gospel. You steal the power of the gospel from yourself. You steal the power of the gospel from your friends. You steal the power of the gospel from people that are around you. And God whispers to you, what do you see when you see the sinners of the world? What are you watching? Are you recognizing these are people I love and I died for? And so this is where I want them to end up, says the Lord. This is what I came for. This is what I'm looking to do in each of their lives. And you are my messengers of reconciliation. You're to tell the world God is not angry with you. He wants to give your life what you can't even begin to comprehend and understand. They may spit on you. They may reject you. They hated Jesus for it. But he reflected that tenderness, that mercy, that love, that faith, that commitment out to them every time. And so in this moment when we start talking about what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? What mission have you got me on? Or following the context of what I introduced you from Isaiah where it says the prophets are like dogs who won't bark. The prophets, he said in Isaiah, are sitting there saying nothing. And the answer came back, what good is a watchdog that won't bark? What good is a dog that won't help or rescue me if I'm in trouble? What? And the answer, of course, no matter how you fill it in, the answer is no good at all. And we have to learn that like a dog, you can wrestle with a big person, but you can only lick a little person, and that only like once or twice. We have all those rules that we expect dogs to learn, and the question comes, what are our lessons? And so I started to think about how do we actually begin to figure out when and how to bark? How do we begin to do this? And lesson number one, is the first one that I came up with, and I want you to be very much aware of it. I got to start with myself. When I look into the mirror of the reflection of the beautiful law of God, all I see is the wretchedness of a man who, apart from the grace of God, has no right to lift his head or list any of his accomplishments or brag about anything. If you don't always start looking into the perfect law of God, getting the splinter out of your own eye, if you don't start there, you can never talk to anyone the right way with the right tone of the bark, the warning, the encouragement, the blessing. You will always have that little, you know, you guys should know better. You know, I don't live like you, but if you want, God could help you. And that judgmental, arrogant subtlety where we don't even think we've really done it, but everybody knows we did. And when they call you out on it, you try and deny it and say, oh no, not me. You have to start. You cannot bark. You cannot speak to anyone till you take and deal with the splinter, that huge thing that's the totality of what's in your life, that suddenly breaks you to a point where you go, I got nothing, Lord, but you. And when you can understand that, and in a sense, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, just kneel at the foot of the cross and say, it's by your blood alone, Lord Jesus. It's by your blood alone. And you look over at that adulterer, you look to the right, to the left, to the homosexual, you look right, to the left. What do you pick the sin? The nasty bully at school, the horrible, insensitive, uncaring father or mother in your life, whatever you want to pick. Now he says, you're ready. See, you're here with me, huh? I got nothing. You got nothing. Jesus loves you, you know. If he can love me, he can love you. If God can save a man like me, he can certainly save you from anything you've ever done. No, don't think he can't do that, because I have one job. That's to tell you that God isn't mad at you. All he wants to do is make you dance with a smile I saw in church one Sunday on the face of a woman that some man managed to paint, trying to say, this is what God wants for you. But I'm on my knees. I'm on my knees with the other man or woman, whether they're standing above me with an arrogant pose or they're on their knees also. What's the key point? I have to start recognizing the unbelievable mercy of God that has covered me, that I live in a continuous state of reconciliation accomplished by the mercy and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Father looks at me with eyes, and he can't wait for that moment. He can't wait for it. I look at you and you got, you know, you picked that scuzziest person you've ever been. Or, I can't wait to hug you like that. I can't wait to hold you. I can't wait to whisper in your ears, you're mine. You have to understand, because otherwise you're going to rise up with a bark, a shout, a finger, a tone. Something will betray the thought that somehow you won't get the message across. And just like the missionary I shared with you at the beginning of the service, who thought he was doing such a good work in translating scripture to this unbelieving pagan who was helping him do the translation. And the pagan looks at him and says, yeah, I've thought about becoming a Christian. As soon as I find one, I may. Could that possibly fit me? Of course. Could it fit you? Yes. Could it fit the church? Yes. You have to understand that if we're going to bark, if we're going to share, if we're going to testify, if we're going to do the things God's called us to do, we have to begin with, oh Lord, help me deal with the sliver or the splinter in my own eye until there is nothing in me but repentance and sincerity and a covering that reminds me it is by your grace alone that I lift my head up and I stand before your throne, Lord. Whoever you want me to touch and hug with some love, I can do it now. See, so many times words we thought that were so carefully worded have tone in them. We've seen it. We're good at it. You can say I love you to someone and leave it with a barb, a hook, a jab. Yeah, of course I love you. I married you, didn't I? You're my kid, aren't you? I'm your sister, aren't I? And everybody knows you don't love them at all. There is nothing real. You are the missionary and the unbeliever, and you think you're being real, but everybody can tell. And sometimes we go, wow. You say love, but you don't mean it. You say I care, but you don't do anything. You say you're different, but there's no difference. You talk like you're saved, but there's no salvation in your actions, your words, your thoughts. Now, I love the gospel because I can't stand up here for one split second without the gospel and understanding it's not by me alone, and I got nothing to present to you. But when I saw this painting, it communicated to me everything. It was what the song that was just sung by Wendy Sue, it was just that whole message. I don't know what I'm going to do, Jesus, but how in the world could you love somebody like me? Let me be a pastor? Give me another day of life? Did you think you deserved today? You think for one second you deserve the man or the woman sitting next to you? You deserve a minute of peace? You deserve the country that you get to live in? You deserve the freedom you have in going to the school or college or whatever? You think you've earned it or deserve it based on what? And here's God coming into your life. Not trying to put you down with it, but going, I want to pour so much more into you yet, my child. So much more. And so that's the miracle. This moment is not supposed to be your first day in heaven. This is the moment when you rise up in the morning And first time, God goes, can I hug you? You want to hug me? Don't you know I got bad breath? Look at where my hair is, and I don't have any makeup on, and I haven't even had a shower yet. I love you. You understand? This is what God's call for us is. It isn't just to save us, it's to empower us. It's to give us a life that is not like anybody else's. It's a life that goes, how in the world can you be happy? Don't you know what you're dealing with right now? Yeah. Don't you know who hugs me? Don't you know who got up in the early in the morning and couldn't wait to say good morning to me? You understand? Read the scripture. Let the gospel minister. Understand what God's saying. And he lifts you up off your knees and he says, today, my child, let's take on the day. Is there anything too great for God? Is there anything too big for God? You mean God couldn't save an abortionist doctor that killed 1,500 or 3,000 babies? He does. God could not possibly save a man who kills Christians and got joy out of it and celebrated it. He did. If God can do that, can he love me? Yes. Can he greet me in the morning like that? Yes. I don't have to wait. I certainly hope I have that expression or something, a little more of my own, but that expression. But more importantly, God's calling us to live as his disciples, to live as his missionaries, to live with a message. God has been reconciled to the enemies of God, to the world that hates him. God is not mad. There will be a judgment day, and that time will come, and that will all be settled up. But right now, that man, that woman, that child, whoever it is, as I'm on my knees next to him, God loves. And he said, you love him. And you tell him how I feel about him. And before you tell them, and this is the part of step one, I have to whisper how much God loves me too. But Lord, I didn't do the things I promised you I'd do yesterday. I know. Come here, let me hug you. God, I think I'm fake. I think I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, there are things in your life I'm going to deal with. Come here, let me hug you. And he repeats it and repeats it and repeats it until you begin to understand the mercy of God for you, that you now can share that same mercy, that same reality, that same tenderness with this man, woman, or child that God calls you to share it with. It isn't all words. The missionary found out he not only didn't have the words, he didn't have the actions. You want to know what God's been laying on my heart all week? Some of you who know this story better than others. I want you to pray for your principal. I want you to pray for the next one above him. And I want you to pray for the next one above him. And I want you to practice praying until it's real in your life and your heart. Until there's nothing left but me. You understand, I don't know how you do this without having the Spirit of God convict you first. He's got to, because every time, you know, I'm going to walk into your life and tell you you need to do this, and the Spirit of God goes, here's where I'm taking you. I am going to break you in all the right ways until you are emptied out of everything that I want emptied out of you. And I go, oh, Lord. And then he came up with a few more that you don't need to know. But you know why he did that? He wrapped his arms around me and he said, there's more. There's more. You haven't begun to taste it yet. There's more. How can you love me? There's more. You understand? That's why you see that face. She's just overwhelmed with the presence of God. And God keeps whispering, there's more. That's what I love about heaven. It's eternal. People go, oh man, what are you going to do? The same thing every day? No. God says, you're never going to get to the end. Every morning. You mean there's more? Yep. Something new? Yep. Now look in this direction. Now look in that. And that's the idea of what God's trying to touch us with. As we close today, I want you to just hear God's call. I have been reconciled to you through my Son, Jesus Christ. There is nothing that separates you from my love. Nothing separates you from my mercy and my grace. There is nothing in this world that keeps me from holding on to you and celebrating each day I have with you. The Lord speaks to your heart, knows you by name, and calls you His. Live in the power of that. Have the courage to share the power of that. Be broken in all the right kind of ways. Begin on your knees. Next time you want to bark, get down on your knees and talk to the person, either literally or physically, until everything inside of you is emptied out. And the only thing in there is the ministry of reconciliation of a God who loves and came to save sinners like you and I. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to rise as we receive the blessing today. And I shared last Sunday, I said, some people go, why in the world can a pastor bless us? And the answer is, I can't. I got nothing. But I can speak the words that God commanded Moses to speak over God's people. And those words are the words of the blessing, the benediction. They come out of the book of Numbers in the Bible. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.